Welcome to episode 2 of the Belligerent Canadian Podcast. Today we were joined by the show's resident hockey insider, Anton in Tampa. And then we were joined by a very funny guy who will be a recurring personality on the show, Tyler in Edmonton. And this episode was brought to you by Pacific Beer Chat, the podcast, pacificbeerchat.com. Also brought to you by 12 Wood Scopes. 12 Wood does a great Periscope show. And it's also brought to you by Josh in Detroit's Winter T-shirt Collection, which is a very fashionable black and white line of stylish tees. Get in touch with Josh in Detroit on Twitter if you are interested in one of those t-shirts. All right, on to episode number 2. Without further ado, here's Anton, followed by Tyler. Anton and I broke down some weird topics and some response to episode 1. Tyler and I broke down mostly jungle talk. And those of you who know what that is, know what that is. If you don't, it might not be for you, but give it a try anyway. All right. And go ahead and check us out on the website, belligerentcanadian.com, at belligerentnuck on Twitter, mail at belligerentcanadian.com. And this will be up shortly on most platforms: Stitcher, Google Play, iTunes. Subscribe, rate, send in some hate. On to Anton. All right, we're joined by my buddy Anton. He's a hockey insider. He resides in Tampa Bay. And anytime you've seen a phone number on the inside of a porta potty, it's his phone number that you're calling. Anton, what's going on, partner?
What's going on, brother? I'm good. How you doing, Matt?
Good, man. All right, so Anton's agreed to come on here and help me with a little bit of reaction that we've garnered after the first episode. I ignored everything about the sound quality because, yeah, I got fucking ears. We know the sound quality wasn't perfect.
Yeah, I love that like 50 people told you that. The first guy didn't convey the message enough that needed the other 49.
Right, and I also don't have fucking ears. You know what it was is I just didn't want to ask Mike to do it again, man. I was so appreciative of him taking the time to do it with me. I had it really low on his end. I had to kind of amplify it, and it sounded brutal because of that, but at least you could hear Mike. That's kind of what I settled with.
Yeah, no, it was all right. It wasn't the greatest audio, but if you were listening to it in the car, or like I'm always listening to it either in the car. I just put the phone, like, lay it on the table on speaker, mm-hmm. and, just let it go. And, it wasn't bad. It was obviously not as quality as, like, a Bill Simmons podcast or something, but, that guy's in a $1 million studio, and it's his fucking job.
Yeah, Bill Simmons, I am fucking
not. Podcast stuff sometimes, too.
Oh yeah, for sure, man. Like, I'm just doing this is for fun, right? Nobody's looking to get bought out by Jim Rome or some shit like that. I'm just having some fun with some funny people, and whatever, if people want to listen to it, great. If not, that's completely fine too.
So there's plenty of content out there, and I've listened to plenty of bad content, plenty of good content, always looking for more. Maybe the good thing is with you doing this is you get people that'll stumble across it that, don't know you through the Rome show or something like that. And, you get a different perspective from people when you get some feedback. So that's kind of cool.
Yeah, that's already been kind of cool, yeah. Yeah, for sure. That's already been a pretty cool feature. And also, I've kind of given myself a crash course in sound editing, which obviously I have not yet mastered by any stretch. But it's been interesting learning about that, too.
Yeah, you need to hit the sound editing developmental league for a couple games.
Yeah, exactly.
Own your handles.
That's right. Even sit in the press box and watch a couple pros work for a game or two.
There it is.
Yeah. All right. So here, the first thing was a tweet directed at me. It was unsigned. The guy, he had an angry-looking avatar. I'm not going to even say his Twitter handle. But it said, "Hey, fuck yourself, Canadian. America protects you from foreign invasion, you pansy ass fuck." So I'll quickly respond to that with, sir, who is trying to invade Canada right now? That's absurd. And we're also part of the Commonwealth, which means.
Can I spin on that real quick?
Yeah, please do. Yeah.
I would say that don't get too testy, because the people that us Americans are protecting Canadians from is the other Americans who all threatened to leave here if Donald Trump won the election. We held them back. We're like, listen, they don't want shit to do with you. This isn't their problem. You stick here and you own them.
I see. I understand now. You know what? In that case, sir, I say thank you for that tweet and for your service. If you're a second responder or whatever, you know, I appreciate. Thank you for your service in protecting us Canadians. And then, all right, we'll move on to the second one that I didn't realize that was such a positive tweet. I'm pleased. All right, so.
Yeah.
And the second, this one says, how much did you pay Mike and Indy to come on, you fuck? And the answer to that is I paid Mike nothing. I asked Mike, and he didn't say yes right away. I kind of had to sell him on it. But he had a little bit, tiny bit of respect for me from my 11th place showing in the Smack Off this year. So he at least heard me out, and I sold him on it, I guess. And he was, once we got rapping, it was just, we were just enjoying ourselves. So I didn't pay him anything, and I do very much appreciate him kind of joining me and taking a swing at that first episode, you know. So yeah, I didn't pay him shit. Anton, anything to add?
Hey, listen, Mike's a good guy. 11th place would get you in a good bowl game. That's nothing to hang your head about. And you probably could have offered to pay Mike in some way that, you know, you really didn't have to. Like, you should have just offered him some Bitcoin. Nobody seems to understand what the fuck's going on with that. So like, hey Mike, I'll throw you a fucking, you know, 15 Bitcoin loony, and you know, come on over.
Yeah,
I know nothing about Bitcoin, but if you're offering it to me, I'll take it.
Yeah, sure. I've heard of it. Beyond that, like if we're talking some Bitcoin to Mike, let's do it. I'll send him some Bitcoin.
Sure, I appreciate the Bitcoin you threw me for coming on. I can't wait to see what happens with it.
Well, you'll be getting a Derek Jeter like gift basket after this. I like to send all my guests a nice post-coital gift basket. It's a, you know, it's a gesture. It's a Canadian thing.
That sounds nice. Well, yeah, that's very sweet of you. I'll tell you what, if as soon as I get that, expect to see a Matt and Van signed baseball on my Twitter page, you know, in some kind of offering. If I can get money for it, great, but if not, I'll settle, you know, for I don't know, nudes from Paulie or something like that. We'll see. Get something.
Yeah, you could probably slang that bad boy for whatever a baseball without a signature cost that's used.
I really don't even know what one of them goes for, so...
What if it's like a new, one of the new juiced ones? It's just straight up like a home run smasher.
Yeah, I mean, I cut into that. I remember what baseball looked like on the inside when I was a kid.
String, right? They were like string inside.
Yeah, and then it got down, it was like this, it was like this rubber ball in the core. Maybe not even, I don't remember it bouncing much, but it was probably about as big as, I don't know, fuck, like a bouncy ball or something. It wasn't very big at all, but yeah, that was what was all like at the core of it, and it was all yarn wrapped around it, and then the whatever leather covering or whatever the hell the casing on a baseball is.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Whatever the.
Yeah,
fuck
you
it
know,
is.
I didn't play too much baseball as a kid. I'm not, you know, I played it, so I get it, but I'm not too in tune with baseball.
I played a pretty. I don't know what the fuck it's made of though. I would have liked to play with these juice balls though. Probably inflated my like Little League stats a little more.
Yeah, it could have took me from, I think I had 2 home runs, but I had to hit 3 with one of these balls.
I had only one ever outside the park. I had one inside the park, but that was just due to a comedy of errors on the other fool's part, which we all promptly let them know about afterwards.
Those ones were the best, bro. Them inside the parkers that just, like, reached the corner of the outfield, and the kid who didn't have his glove on was, like, you know, trying to catch butterflies or something.
Yeah, or like he just makes the worst decision. Like there's like bases loaded, and he goes for the guy at first with no outs. He just whips it for that guy, and they just get three runs come flying in.
My favorite ever is, and I seen it like 2 years ago maybe. I was with a buddy, and we were watching the kids play. Like what was it? Like maybe 9-year-olds, 9-10-year-olds, I guess. You know, they were pitching to each other.
Right.
Maybe a little bit older, but anyway, pop up to like short right, the kid comes running up, then like you see thinks about it and then slows down and then goes for the dive and catch and completely misses it, and all the parents losing their minds on him. I'm like, oh god, he's a kid, come on.
Yeah,
if you wanted to do it, he's on SportsCenter, man, this is meaningless, don't worry about it.
Oh hey man, you know as well as anybody the ultimate sport parent is the hockey parent. Like, we got own that up here, man. It's like they are some of the most aggressive. I've seen people in their 40s and 50s berating 14-year-old officials to the point of, like, they feel like they had to call their own parents to, like, come protect them from these people.
Yeah, dude, it's nuts. When I have to deal with, I can let it roll off when I'm reffing. Nothing really bothers me. Try to have, like, a good one-liner or something ready in your back pocket to throw back. And, I mean, usually I'll shut them up, you know. And most coaches or parents even, like, eventually if you talk to them calmly, most of them will get past whatever they were bitching about and you just can move past it.
Yeah,
but
reasonable
the ones
people
that are, like, just, like, that. Like, sport dad, you know, the one that has to coach his son whatever sport he's playing.
Yeah.
And
yeah, fucking guy thinks he's fucking Mike Sullivan, two cup rings on his hand, even though he's like a 30 grand a year carpenter with a drinking problem.
Yeah, bro, it's not some of the people, you know. Some of them are just straight up, they'll talk to you like the way they yell at the TV. It's like, Jesus, dude, I'm right here. Like, relax.
So I got an email that, as I introduced you, we got to you as the Hockey Insider. So this email came in, and it's from a Canadian person, and they asked who's going to win the Stanley Cup and give me some good reasons why. And then they said, war the fucking Penguins. So they're obviously Penguins fans. But where do you come out as the show's exclusive Hockey Insider? I assume that you're wearing a fine suit right now, sitting around like a semicircle desk, shuffling some papers.
I'm definitely wearing a fine suit, but I'm not shuffling papers. I already finished that part of it.
All right. This is like we're live here on your morning drive with TSN 360, live with Anton, an insider.
I gotta get, you know what, I'll find some paper so I can make the noise.
I got some here, I'll fake it for you. Here we go.
I don't know if that's coming over.
Okay, so,
yeah,
we're going.
This is my rundown on every team.
Right.
But to be honest, you said that was a Penguins fan,
That was
right?
A Penguins fan, but let's backtrack it beyond the Cup Final and take it to the, let's give me some West Final and East Final action, and then we'll break it down into the final, because I have my own thoughts on this too, but I want to hear what you got to say.
Okay, so, like, if you had to stick me to it right now, I don't know if I could give you other than just saying, well, Chicago and L.A.,
sure.
Because I think that when it all comes through, those teams are playoff tested. I think they could win a seven against, you know, pretty much anybody, but we're talking in, you know, December.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, yeah, back against the wall, I'd say, like, Chicago and L.A. out west, just because, you know, we know them. In the East, it's Pittsburgh until somebody takes it, and I hate Pittsburgh, but everything they have, every piece that they move and put a new one in, somebody goes down, they plug a guy in, it always works. Pittsburgh is a machine. They're like the Patriots or the Warriors or something like that. They're a loaded team, and they're probably going to be able to make a run, even if they go into the playoffs, like, you know what, say a three or a four spot, you know, like a wild card or whatever they call them.
Mm-hmm.
They can still beat anybody, and we all know it, you know?
Yeah, I don't think anybody can fully dispute that. They're one of the top lethal threats. They're not quite in Patriots territory, but they're back-to-back cup champs, and their players right? So.
Yeah, the Patriots a little bit longer of a run, but yeah, you know what I mean. Obviously.
Even winning back-to-back in this day and age is pretty fucking credible. In that league, with that amount of, like, parity they got going on.
Yeah, what was the one before? It was the Red Wings in 97, 98, right?
Yeah, that's way back, yeah. Yeah, I remember that Yzerman crew when those guys were running wild with, like, Shanahan and Fedorov and guys like that.
And they swept the Caps and then they swept the Flyers and then the Caps.
Right.
But they swept back to back finals. That's impressive.
That's right, yeah. All right.
They treat the East like it's competition.
So who do you got taking on the Pens in the East? And then
I imagine
you're going to take the Pens over them anyway. But
man, yeah, I'm going to take the Penguins over them, but maybe Columbus, you know, maybe they're scrappy and maybe this is the year they get over the hump.
Yeah, they could rise up.
I know Boston's young, but I like some of the things Boston has, you know, but yeah. I don't expect them to make the playoffs or be a real threat. But I don't like the Bruins traditionally, but they just have a lot of young pieces that I like that it's worked out. I think that it's time to take Zdeno Chara out back and put one between his eyes. You know, God bless him. But
yeah, I think you're right.
Yeah, they're an interesting team.
Where do you come out on the Capitals? Because that's who I have. I have Capitals, Pens in a conference final with the Pens taking them out yet again. And then I also would have, for the West, I like San Jose sneaking in there and kind of fighting their way to the West final again. And I'm kind of torn, but I still kind of like Anaheim getting back into it once they get healthy.
Yeah, that's another team that you don't need to do it. You know what? In the East, let me change mine. I'd be a fool if I didn't say it. Tampa is money right now. They look like they can keep it together. So if they do keep it together, why couldn't this be the year Tampa makes it over the hurdle?
Tampa looks pretty lethal.
I'll say Tampa in Pittsburgh.
Well, you know what? You are in Tampa, so that makes you might as well roll with the dice this year on Tampa because they look lights out, stacked.
Yeah, and I see them every night, and it's like, you know, I don't know what the national perspective is on them because, you know, nobody really talks hockey in general, but,
for sure.
Like, yeah, they're a team that just continues to consistently just win night in and night out. It's nuts.
Well, I can tell you as a Canadian, we get force-fed hockey talk even when there's no need for it up here, so I can tell you they're all the Canadian honks, like Bob McKenzie and all those guys, they're all over Tampa this year. They're loving it. They're buying mad Tampa stock. Yeah, and Stamkos is a stud, man. Like, that guy, you know, he's top three player in the league when he's at his best.
Oh, yeah. It's just, with him, it's just keeping him healthy. Like when he gets injured, will it be a 10-game injury or will it be the fucking season, you know? And it sucks. I think it's only been twice that he's missed the rest of the season, but it sucks when it happens, especially, what was it? Not last year, the year before when he came back, like right around the finals, but I think he only played maybe two or three games in that finals. Mm-hmm. But not having him for that, but, you know, for the whole East run, it drags on the other guys. You know, I mean, everybody stepped up.
It catches up.
Yeah, exactly. It catches up. And maybe the finals go a little differently because I think they lost in six to Chicago.
Right.
So maybe they can punch through one more game. Like, you know, anything could happen, you know, but it would have been nice to have him. Basically is my point.
Absolutely. All right, so who's your cup champ then out of those four?
I guess I'm just going to have to say Pittsburgh to make a safe pick. Anaheim, you mentioned Anaheim. If they get through, there's nothing that leads me to believe they couldn't win. And you know what? I know Edmonton's a mess right now, but if they figured out they had a lot of punch in them in the playoffs last year, you know, maybe they can things again, you know, so
They could get hot.
It's tough to call them that, so I'll just say Pittsburgh.
Well, I'm on the same boat just because I'm going with the guys in their prime who've just been, when it counts, they've been lighting it up. Malkin and Crosby, they've given me no reason to bet against them the last couple of years, so I'm going to stick with the Penguins. But granted, it's December. We'll be touching base again a few times throughout the season, and we'll see how our picks hold up. But who do you think who's in a playoff position right now is quickly going to fall out of it? Because I got to throw my own team under the bus right now with the loss of Horvat and Berchi, two of the top three line. That's, you know, that's devastating for a team that's barely treading water. So I think they're quickly going to plummet out of the spot, and I actually think that's where the Oilers are going to slot in.
Yeah, that, you know what, that does make sense. I could definitely see that happening.
All right, so we got one email here that I was saving for the very end because it's a fucking funny one. It says, where and when is it appropriate to wear sweatpants? And this Armando, he didn't say where he's from. So Armando, I'll give you my quick take on this, and then we'll see where Anton comes out because he's a hockey aficionado, but he's more so a fashion aficionado, as far as I know, anyway. So I say sweatpants to the mailbox and back is barely acceptable. These young women I see pushing strollers around in sweatpants and pajama pants, that's a big no-no. Guys wearing them, you know, I gotta say, I'd rather see you in a pair of shorts. I don't even agree with track pants in public, to be honest. I feel like it's the it's white trash. What do you come out on this, Anton?
Well, I'm standing on the other corner.
Team sweatpants.
WT is me. Now, I don't own sweatpants that I would. Well, maybe I do have a pair. I don't know. I haven't worn sweatpants in a long time, but I am a shorts and sandals, wherever the hell I feel like going guy. Sometimes socks, sometimes without. It's chilly today, so I had socks on. But
in the sandals?
Like sweatpants? Yeah, sandals. I crush sandals, bro. I own two pairs of shoes, and I'll wear them when but I live in Florida, so I take advantage of, you know, the certain amenities we have.
Sure.
But, yeah, sweatpants are, in my book, in you know, the white trash world that I step into, sweatpants are fine basically anywhere except church or an Italian restaurant besides the Olive Garden. Olive Garden, sweatpants play.
What about, like, a tracksuit?
They're like servers at the Olive Garden.
Are you a tracksuit guy? I can get with a tracksuit.
I enjoy the jumpsuit January hashtag, but I think I only I have an Adidas tracksuit. It's like, well, more like a windbreaker tracksuit, and then I think I have a Nike one or something. But I really just wear the jacket, and then other times I'll wear the pants, but rarely do I wear them together.
Yeah, no, it's almost like you gotta kind of avoid that. Otherwise, you look like Puffy and Mace floating through a music video.
Well, in my case, I just get typecasted as, like, you know, some reject background actor from, like, Sopranos or Entourage. Just one of those fools going in the background of the HBO show.
That's fair. Like a tilted white hat on, kind of a false strut behind you.
Sure.
Yeah, no doubt.
For sure. Well, I don't, for Entourage, I wear the white hat. For Sopranos, I take it off. That's the only wardrobe change they make me make.
Yeah, it makes sense. I like that.
Yeah,
bro. Well, I appreciate you coming on and answering some of that shit for me. And
for sure.
Yeah, we'll be touching base with Anton periodically through the hockey season when major hockey events go down. When basically anything I feel like I need to address and I need to bring in a person that whose opinion I trust, I'll be reaching out to Anton the Sweatpants Aficionado.
So, listen, Matt, take it easy, brother. Put on a extra winter hat because I know it's getting cold now. An extra toque, if you call it. And you take it easy, bro. And everybody listen and be good.
All right, we got Tyler in Edmonton on the line. Tyler, what the fuck's up, man?
Not much, man. Having a beer, ready to talk.
All right, is there already 10 feet of snow outside of your front door in that? Or there's a 10 feet of dirt from the plows?
It's fucking, right now it's exactly what you'd want to see. It's muddy and dirty.
Muddy and dirty.
A bunch of snow and then, today was like +8. Shit. It's been like Vancouver weather, just depressing and fucking rainy.
It was sunny and 10 degrees today, but it rained for like a week straight recently, like heavy too. So I gotta concede that. So the ground is also muddy.
Okay, so what do you guys for your winter? Like, do you guys even get much snow or what?
Typically no. Last year we got quite a bit.
Cause like if this was your winter, like what we got right now, like that would suck. I'd rather just be -10 and snowy.
Yeah.
You get in that middle ground, it's just a mess.
Oh, fucking right. Like, what kind of weather do you guys usually get around Christmas time? It's usually like -35. The homeless people start moving the fuck out here.
Yeah. I don't know. I honestly don't know how they do it. It's weird, man, because, like, we already had a week where it was like -20 in snow. And then it went from like -20 something to +2 in like 36 hours.
Jesus Christ.
So it's fucked. Yeah, it doesn't even make sense.
Fuck.
And then, all the bums. I don't know what they do, man. I honestly don't know what to do.
Like, come out here, man. I could probably go out on my deck and find like photographic evidence if it was light out.
Fuck.
None of them are from here. There's a lot of French Canadians. That's all the French Canadians have ever given to Vancouver is some homeless people.
Really?
And a couple losses in the National Hockey League.
We get all the East Coasters, and then you guys get all our scraps. Everything just moves west.
Ugh, exactly, yeah, it's like, I feel like we're at the bottom of the hill, and like, everybody just comes here who can't handle, like, real winter.
you probably got a few stragglers that came from down east, blew all their money on coke and big trucks, and then went to the streets, and then now they're there. So you kind of got like a mishmash of like Nova Scotia to Fort McMurray to Edmonton, and
final
stomping grounds in Victoria or Vancouver.
I generally totally forget places like Nova Scotia even exist. Like, generally, if a place doesn't even at least have like a somewhat of a sports presence, like, they're just off my radar. Like, people in Quebec City, I don't even acknowledge them until they get a team back. Before you ever called in, who was your favorite caller or couple callers?
I've always liked Mike. Like, I thought, you know, Mike's always solid. Like, I got the same thing with Vic, too. Like, those two are always kind of staples. BIC, too, I guess. But
yeah.
I'd say Mike, if I'm being honest. I'd say he's one guy kind
of... Yeah, we're going to catch more heat for being a pro Mike podcast already now.
Yeah, no. I never, like... I respect Chael, like, I get him, but... I'm just like, whatever, like, you know what I mean? I don't really care too much about him, but...
There's been a couple Chael calls that I've kind of been pretty into, but then he's had moments where, I don't know, they're pretty forgettable sometimes, too. But, I mean, this is, like, probably, to him, he's just, like, killing an afternoon when he participates with the Jungle, right? Like, he can...
Yeah.
If it came down to it, like, at a press conference, he'd probably kill any of us in a smack talk. Like, Like, that's kind of just where he lives. He just kind of comes in here to teach a lesson every now and then, it feels like. And it's like, this is what I can bring. See you next year, you know?
Yeah, it would be cool if he kind of pops around more, but...
Yeah, instead of passing fucking guys like that.
Yeah. I don't know. Passing's tough because, like, the channel's the same thing, too. Like, I'd love to take a rip at passing, but... Tough to get a reaction out of him, I think, because it's hard to say how much he's actually listening.
Yeah, well, he's come back at me on Twitter once, but that doesn't count. Like, it's got to be on air, real. Like, he's still known for his beating on Cal in Vegas, which is a Cal has one thing going for him. It's some staying power in the Jungle, in spite of the fact that he's the non-factor in almost every other walk of life.
You know what? Like, I totally agree, and I've said that before. I think I've said it to you, like. Cal has, like, he has, like, a shtick, and there's something there that works, obviously, because he is still relevant, whether I want to admit it or not, but he fucking just shoots himself in the leg more, like, it's like one step forward, two steps back, it seems like it's been his whole career, if you want to call it a career, right, like,
yeah,
that's his thing, it's like, man, if this guy, and it kind of gets into what I was, like, so fired up about Neil and those guys, too, like, it's like they let the shit get into their head so much where it just gets in their own way.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, fuck, man. Like, he acts like he's some sort of, like, celebrity or something, or he just goes on these fucking tangents. It's like, dude, you're Cal from Vegas, and you're only Cal in Vegas because of the show. So don't act like the show is you anything, or you're doing the show as any favor. Because you're only relevant to all these people who are on Twitter because of the show.
Right.
You know what I mean? Fuck, people just say that.
Yeah. Well, he's deliriously drunk a lot of the times he's tweeting, to be honest. Like, that's the only explanation for some of the fucking shit that's coming up there.
Oh, man. I don't know. Like, I don't know if he's just one of these guys that... Like, you know, some people, they just literally believe what they're saying, you could videotape them doing something and be like, you did this, like, no, I didn't do that.
Yeah, it wasn't me.
No, look at this video.
Yeah.
Look at the video, you fucking did it.
Yeah, no, it wasn't me. Right, yeah.
And yeah, they'll still deny it, right? It's just like, those kind of people, you can't fix them.
100%, yeah. Broken human.
I never asked you, though, but, like, before, did you use the call very often, like, before last year? Not really.
I got a few. I emailed fairly frequently. I had a couple calls a year prior to that where, like, one went decently. I actually, One was like way back in like 2015, I think it was, and I was trying to get a quick golden ticket. I was just kind of decided to go for it. Job yeah. had some allotment of time, so I could call in. I was like, ah, screw it, I'm gonna give it a shot. So I called in and I kind of cracked on like Homie in Newport Beach, like in a basement, like listening to Joe and Hollywood's music, like rubbing one out to Rome on Showtime. And like and Rome was busting up, and he had kind of Alvy playing Joe and Hollywood's music, and he's just like, he's laughing, right? He's just piling on Homie.
Yeah.
So that kind of got me a second foot in the door, and then like I called and I was like rushing through it, and I was kind of like in a bad area, so I was cutting in and out, so I just got broken off. It's all like one of those things. Like I always tell people that are kind of like one foot in Twitter. I got a couple buddies who just kind of dabbled around in it. And it's like it's not a place where you ever want to let yourself feel any emotions. Like really, except humor, right? You just gotta be laughing. And if like you find yourself getting upset about something, or like you're like sitting there in your car, you're like fuck this guy. It's like, man, you just delete the app, take a fucking couple weeks off. You know, like, forget Twitter exists. Don't check it. Don't check it via other avenues. Just shut it right down. Take a couple weeks. You know, download a couple new albums. Enjoy yourself. And then maybe if you want to come back to it, come back to it. But it's like, it shouldn't be that. You know?
No.
It's just supposed to be a place to screw around.
I agree. Like, that's what I mean. Like, so why... I don't understand. It's the same thing as, like, why... You guys listen to the show. We're all kind of here for the same reason. So, like, what is the point... of like bringing it down, or you know, poking fun at the whole idea. Like,
I agree. I don't understand. It doesn't make any sense. It's like they're kind of like you. Like they were like, he's Jim Rome's your idol. It's like, well, idol might be a bit strong, but I look up to Jim Rome. Hell yeah, I listen to his show for 3 hours a day for 5 days a week for 15 fucking years. Like, yeah, I mean, I better like the guy. Yeah. Otherwise, what the fuck have I been doing for all this time, right?
And yeah. You know what? To further that point too, is like. And, like, when people talk about having what guests you have, like, and they say, oh, they tweet just to get read or, like, kiss ass tweets, like, dude, like, same thing, like, Rome might not be your idol, but there's no shame in saying you might look up to, like, look at what he's fucking done for himself. Look what he is.
Right.
Those are generally the people that you say, okay, like, what kind of habits does that guy have that I want to emulate my own life?
Sure.
That's generally... And it's the same with people who say, like, Gary Vaynerchuk. Like, I didn't know who that guy was until Rome had him on. But then if you actually follow him and you kind of see his shtick, you're like, I can get behind this guy. Like, he's got shit that I'll take with me on the day-to-day.
I agree.
So if I'm gonna tweet, or this isn't just me, this is for everybody. If anybody's going to tweet or, you know, say, yo, dude, like, this guy, great guest, have him on again, because we're all listening. So, like, genuinely, like... Yeah, I want to hear Gary Vaynerchuk on the podcast again because, like, I enjoy it. I get something from it. So if people are giving him that feedback, it doesn't mean they're kissing his ass.
I agree.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean,
so
I've...
They're just sitting at home and saying, well, you're just fucking saying that because you want to get read, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
It's like, dude, you look like a child. You look like a jealous little child.
It's... I've never understood it. It's like they don't... Getting read isn't like some sort of huge victory or anything. All it is people are just enjoying interacting with the show. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. I think some people have given up on the idea of participating in the show, and they've made Twitter their show. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Twitter is now their Jim Rome show, and they'll, like, just... The actual show itself, they've given up on actually kind of partaking in any of that fun stuff. So... Then they just, you know, I think they kind of sour on it after a while, but they still are addicted to the Twitter part of it.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's hard to explain. I just kind of was trying to think about why people would crack on a guy they listened to for, I don't know, however many hours, 35 hours over a couple weeks, and just like crush the show, and like they tweet about it. But no, the podcast, no, we don't want anything to do with the podcast. You know, it's like, right, oh, okay, man, that's fine. Like, the beauty of a podcast is if you don't want to fucking ever listen to it, you don't have to. You have to seek it out to listen to it. So it's like, if you don't want to listen to a podcast, or you're annoyed by the fact that there's a podcast or whatever your beef is with it, then just don't fucking pay any attention to it.
Yeah.
It's that simple.
Oh, man, it's exactly... exactly kind of what I was saying about Cal earlier. It's like, you, like, whatever you are on Twitter, which has got your head blown out of proportion clearly by the way you act on Twitter, whatever that is because of the show and everything that happens around the show. So, like, don't act like the show owes you anything, because it doesn't. You're only somebody to all your followers on Twitter because of the show.
Right.
So I've never understood that whole dynamic where it's like they some of these guys, they act like the show owes them something. It's like, dude, you never have, like, whatever, how many followers you have or I have. It's like, I wouldn't have that many followers if I wasn't fucking cloning out on the Jim Rome show. Like, no way.
Right. I know, man. It's like,
so it's like,
and even our level of followers and the hundreds and whatnot is like, who gives a fuck, right, about us? Nobody gives a shit. Cal seems to just be in this, like, the state of mind where he feels like it's some sort of a title. Like, Lef has some status as the champ. The rest of us, just, and anybody who's won it would have status as a champ. I would class the rest of us as just replaceable scrubs. 100 guys like Cal will come and go, and 100 guys like you and I will come and go before Rome said and done, and we'll be long forgotten. And that's just, it's a radio show that lives on, and it kind of, like, it thrives off people wanting to interact, and eventually we'll probably move on, or we'll get jobs that we can't interact with it or whatever, and that's just life.
Yeah. Oh, for sure.
But until that happens, like, I like to throw in my 2 cents with Rome, and if he elects to read it or take my phone call or whatever, play my voicemail, then awesome, you know?
Oh, exactly. And, I don't know. I don't get that whole shtick of, like, even when I was on, like, you know, I don't know if I referenced others, but when Hayes was on 12 Scope last weekend, I was watching, and, you know, all he wanted to do was, literally, and then I found out after, he's part of this fucking crew with Dan and these guys, and he's like, all he did the entire time with 12 was be like, well, what do you think about Rome interviewing so-and-so? Like, he has nothing to do with sports. Why would he do that? It's like, dude, are you, like, is this what you want to do at fucking midnight on a Friday? Is this complain about the show some more, you and your little crew? Like, this is literally all you guys ever want to do. It's like, why don't you guys just have a fucking beer? Just have fun like the rest of us are, right?
Right.
I don't know. I know I'm being kind of hypocritical because I'm bitching about them, but, like, the last couple days I've just been like, fuck you guys, like...
Yeah, I mean, I don't get it. But, I mean, you know, people can Twitter the way they want to Twitter. It's like, we'll just choose to disagree with how, like, they want to be the cool kids from 90s high school who are, like, you know, ridiculing the tryhards or whatever, and it's like, man, that shit's dead, dude. Like, the world has moved on beyond all that shit. That's no longer the cool kids, those are the losers. Those are the kids who fucking, you know. Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, you gotta have fun with it.
Yeah, exactly.
It could be like, because from what I can tell, 99% of people on Twitter, they're all pretty good dudes. Like, everybody's kind of
100% agree. Even when there's some good shit talking and, like, some good criticism and some good smack, I love that stuff, man. Let's get down and dirty. Yeah. Like, there's very seldom that I'll think crosses the line. Obviously, some shit does cross the line, but, like, I'm always game for a good smack talk. I think it's funny. Yeah. And I respect guys who stand in and trade and kind of don't, you know. If you've stood it, like, Dan and I initially, we got after each other when I first got on Twitter, and then we were actually quite aligned for quite a while until I think I pissed them off again. But I think it's because we both kind of stood in and trade for a number of weeks, and I was like, yeah, you know what? This guy, you're backing down. So, yeah, neither's this guy. And it carries on to this day, obviously.
Yeah. Well, same with me and you. Like, fuck. My one buddy's still like, you fucking talk to that Mad Vancouver guy.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't participate. He listens. He's just like, he's a hate before. I'm like, oh yeah, he's fucking nervous, good shit. Because when we first started, like, we didn't know each other or whatever, so it's like...
Well, we were going at each other, right? That's, yeah.
Yeah.
For sure. Even in my when Rome was introducing me in the smack-off, he mentioned me coming after you.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you said something, I remember that, you said something, well, you're not scared to take shots of one of your own, right?
Yeah, so, not scared to, something like that, turn on one of my own or something like that. Yeah. But then...
That's all good.
That's why exactly kind of how I think it goes, especially up here, right? You kind of drop the gloves, throw, and then pat each other on the back, and then, you know, score settled, let's go get a beer after the game.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the old hockey mentality, right? Like, Darnell Nurse got in a fight on the weekend, fuck, whoever they were playing, Montreal, I think it was, he fought that bend, and they kind of went at it until, like, basically looked like they were too tired to do anything else. They kind of both pat each other. It's like,
yeah,
it's just kind of that mentality, right?
You had to sneak in, you had to sneak in some fucking Oilers talk, didn't you? Later.
All right, take care. Bye.